You know, I was thinking this past week, for whatever reason, we are closing up another year, another year, which New Year is just, for me personally, it's just such a weird holiday because I have my birthday and that signifies me being here for a year, but then I have New Year's, which that also signifies like a worldwide birthday. But I just couldn't help but think like, I'm living like I lived through the year 2017. I lived through it. I did not die. God did not take me home yet. I'm still here. And that's just crazy to think about. That God literally gave you another year in 2017 to live. And tomorrow he's going to give you a chance to live, well, hopefully no one passes away, but I guess if it happens before tomorrow, then it does. But he'll let you experience living in 2018, and I just think that's the wildest thing. That's just crazy. A whole another year has passed by. And I don't know, I'm sorry, that's not at all part of my sermon. It's just, it's crazy to think that you were given a whole nother year. A whole nother year. Out of everybody living, you were given another year to live. Well, today we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 23. So, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 23. And I'll let you guys turn there. If anyone needs any Bibles, there's some in I don't see any in those corners, but there's some in those corners. But I'm going to pray, and then I just desperately want to dive into God's Word. So let's pray and then read. Father, you've been so gracious to me. Thank you so much. I think of just this past year. And I just can't help but praise your name and thank you that you gave me another year to live. Lord, I pray that I never take a day in my life for granted. God, as we dive into your holy word, would you just allow me to preach faithfully? That I wouldn't try to drive my own point, but you would keep me from that. And I would just let the passage make its own point. God, I know that you've brought people here today who don't know you, who question you. Maybe they've been following you, but they've felt alone. God, I ask that you would soften their hearts to your gospel. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15 through 23 says this. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. I want to ask just one simple question that's going to drive this entire sermon. Just one simple question. Are you satisfied? Are you satisfied in Christ? And I don't mean that meaning like, is there something better than Christ out there? I mean, have you settled in your relationship with him? We know that God satisfies the hungry soul for everyone. So I'm not asking that. What I'm asking is, have you settled in your relationship with God? I ask this one simple question because there are serious implications if you've settled. See, in this prayer that we just read, Paul is praying on behalf of the church of Ephesus. Have you settled in your relationship with Christ? Because it's really easy to enter this relationship, right? There's a catchphrase that it's not a religion, it's a relationship. But then it's easy to say, you know, yeah, I'm in this relationship, but I'll take care of it. It'll be mine. You know, I'm in this relationship, but now it's just me. Or, you know, I'm in this relationship, but there's some things that I know I need to get rid of. But maybe I will. Maybe I will. Or I'm in this relationship, but you know, I just don't feel it. Unless I'm at camps or conferences or on mission trips or concerts. Or one that drives me nuts personally, and that's, you know, I'm in this relationship, but I just need something deeper. I really need something deeper. It's gotta be deeper than Jesus. Have we settled? I mean, wouldn't it be crazy if I were to tell my wife, Charisse, well, the wedding day is gone now and I just don't feel it anymore. No, that's the start. So in this passage, we get to see a prayer that Paul prays for the church of Ephesus. It's a very simple, yet rich and deep prayer. Please don't confuse simple with shallow when it comes to the gospel. However, before we dive in, I think it's appropriate to kind of back up a little bit and see why and how this prayer came out. Because this is a doxological filled prayer. What doxology means is just a worshipful prayer. It means worship. And if we were to look back before in verses 3 through 14, we can see why Paul is just so stirred with emotion that this prayer just comes out of him. Because in verses 3 through 6, Paul is meditating on the fact that God the Father chose and adopted us. And then verses 7 through 12, the Son has redeemed us. And then verses 13 and 14, the Holy Spirit seals us for eternity. And Paul is overwhelmed so much that this prayer comes out of him. And then we come to verse 15, where we'll be. And he starts off saying this, "For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints." You guys see what Paul starts off saying? After meditating on the richness of the triune God, he says, for this reason. And what is the reason? Because he has heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus and the love towards all saints. See, the church in Ephesus is in Ephesus. And when Paul went there on his missionary journey, he went there planting and watering seeds of the gospel. And it took root. And who did it take root in? But in pagan Gentiles. People who believed in the Greek gods and goddesses and worshipped them. People who were considered magicians and witches of their time, who turned to potions of various kinds. And so Paul goes there and he shares the gospel with them. And it takes roots and he leaves, and now he is hearing about their faith in the Lord Jesus and their love towards all the saints. Don't you know that these are the two Christian virtues? Some of the most important Christian virtues, faith and love. Paul doesn't say, I have heard of your programs and studies, or I've heard of your scripture memorization and your attendance. He says, no, I've heard of your faith and love. But faith and love in what? Well, it's their faith in the Lord Jesus. Christianity isn't just putting your faith in some blind thing. It's faith in the Lord Jesus. And what about the love? Well, their love is towards the saints. What are the saints? Well, the saints aren't people that we pray to. No. See, in the Greek, the word saint is actually hagios, which also could be translated as holy. See, hagios was a kind of a nickname for Christians back then, people who were pursuing holiness. So they would be called kind of like hagioses, or I don't know if that's what they were actually called, but something like that. And so it was a nickname towards those who were pursuing holiness. Because as Peter quotes the Old Testament, which says, I am the Lord your God, be holy for I am holy. He is saying that they are showing love towards the saints. Who are the saints? I'm a saint. You're a saint. If you're pursuing holiness. See, as Christians, we are called to embrace all, but we are first and foremost called to love our brothers and sisters, right? That's what the church is marked by. That's what John says in 1 John. If you love him, you will love your brother. If you hate your brother, then you do not love him, and the truth is actually not in you. So because of this, Paul then goes on to say in verse 16, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. See, Paul isn't giving thanks to them because they gave him something. No, Paul is hearing about the fruit in their life, that they are growing in their faith in the Lord Jesus and that they are loving the saints. And so he's giving thanks to that. And from here on out, we get the privilege. This is seriously a privilege to see what the Apostle Paul prays for. So it's here where I want to issue a church-wide challenge, or a CWC, church-wide challenge. We're about to unpack this prayer. And my challenge is that this prayer that we're about to study would be something that we pray every single day in the year 2018. 365 days, we would pray what Paul prays here. Because this prayer has serious things going on in it. You see, if you're a Christian, if you've been authentically saved, meaning you've been adopted by the Father, redeemed by the Son, and sealed by the Holy Spirit, the scariest thing shouldn't be that if you can lose your salvation. I mean, Paul literally says you've been sealed with the Holy Spirit. No. The scariest thing that should shake you to your core is if you've become apathetic and you've settled with where you are at spiritually. If you could care less about growing in your walk with Jesus or experiencing Him more, that should seriously cause concern. There's a man, his name is John Piper. He's a writer, and he has this saying that at first when I read it, I thought it was just really stupid. And if you knew who John Piper was, you would say, "Max, you're really stupid for thinking that something he wrote was stupid." And it's this: God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him. God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him. And I thought about this and I'm like, you know, this is just a really stupid sentence. It doesn't make sense. Because there's no possible way. How in the world could I possibly be satisfied in this God? I'm telling you what, if you could be satisfied in the Creator of the universe, if you could be satisfied in God, then He would stop being God. There's no possible way that a God could be a God where His people could be satisfied in Him. It's impossible. And so I'm thinking about this, and it clicks with me. That's the point. That's the point of what he wrote right there. There's no possible way that I could be satisfied with my walk with Jesus. I should not settle. Because the more I grow in Jesus, the more I glorify Jesus. And so we come to verse 17, the start of this prayer. And Paul says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. That the Father would give you. This is what Paul is praying for. It's not that these people weren't Christians. He's asking that the Father would give them more. Of what? A spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him. Isn't it silly that we can say, well, of course, God revealed to me that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but we fail to even realize what that actually says. I don't know if you guys are picking this up at all, but the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And Paul here is asking that God would give them a spirit of wisdom. See, the beginning of wisdom doesn't mean that it's the end of wisdom. It means that it's the beginning of wisdom. And this is what Paul is asking for, that these Christians would be given more wisdom. And then we move on and we see this word revelation. And I don't know about you, but I look at that and I'm like, whoa, wait a second, Paul. I'm not a mystic. I'm a Baptist. But really what Paul is saying is what revelation means is the word of God. That as the Ephesians would read this letter that Paul wrote them, that they would comprehend that all of this turns to Jesus. Revelation in the knowledge of Him. Do you know what one of the most incredible things is that I get to hear from people? Whenever I hear a new Christian say, I used to come at the Bible because I thought it was just a morally good thing. And then they say, but I realized now that I'm a Christian, now that God's word has been revealed to me, that Romans says, no one is righteous, no, not one. But that's why Jesus saved me. That's why He went to the cross. Or that I used to come to the Bible just trying to prove it wrong, but now all I can see is that this is all about Jesus. Every single parable points to Jesus. Or I used to think that the Old Testament was irrelevant and outdated, but now I've realized that all of it points to the glory of God through Jesus. That's what Paul is praying for, that as they would learn more, that the Spirit would reveal Jesus more to them. We need a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. This is so important. It doesn't stop. It can't stop. Have we settled? Have we? So we then come to verse 18. And it says, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which He has called you? What are the riches of His glorious inheritance? At first glance, if you read this, you think, I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm not going to talk for you, but I'm going to talk for me. I thought this was strange, because why is Paul saying that the eyes of my heart need to be enlightened? I know for a fact that there are no eyes in my heart, but I know that they're, like, that's kind of strange. But that's exactly what Paul is trying to get at. Because Paul knows that the eyes in our head lead to our brain, and the brain leads to the mind. And the mind and brain are sinful and selfish. And that the eyes of our heart need to be enlightened. Why do they need to be enlightened? Because by nature, we are rebels against God. We are children of wrath. And up to my own choosing, I choose sin over God. There's a recently deceased pastor, theologian, and philosopher, and I think he really articulates this verse very well. His name's R.C. Sproul. He just died this past month. He says this about this verse, and then I'll try to explain it. The key work of the Holy Spirit in regeneration is not giving new knowledge to the brain, but changing the dispositions of the heart. Before the Spirit turns that heart of stone into a heart of flesh, we have no desire for the things of God. We may desire the blessings that only God can give us, but we have no affections for the things of God. At the moment of regeneration, the eyes of the heart are opened somewhat. But this is just the beginning. The whole Christian life involves unfolding and enlarging of the heart's openness to the things of God. There are concepts, attitudes, and values in my life at present that do not please God. For there will be stony parts to my heart as long as sin abides within me. Sin clouds my thinking, my will, my desires, my affections. There will always be parts of me that need to be opened more and more to let the fullness of God's truth dwell in me. That's an incredible statement. Because he's saying that we once all had hard, stony hearts. And we all continue to sin. See, Christians aren't perfect. We know that. And because of that, we continue to need the eyes of our heart to be enlightened. To see the stony parts. And the only way that happens is if the Spirit reveals that to you. See, after Paul asks that the eyes of our heart would be enlightened, he then gives three tangible things to look to. And that's that they would be open to the hope that we are called to to the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints and the immeasurable greatness of his power. That's what he's praying for. That the eyes of our hearts would be open to these things. In the book of Hebrews, hope is called the anchor of our soul. Hope isn't just this kind of wishing for the best. It's being able to have this full assurance in the things to come, in the riches of his glorious inheritance. And that's why, as Christians, we care for people, because of the glorious inheritance. We know that our meaning does have life. We don't just live and pass away. We have an inheritance. And then he says that this immeasurable greatness of his power, that our eyes would be open to that. And then Paul kind of goes on to explain more in verses 20 through 23, which says this, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. He put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So what is this working of his great might? What is this immeasurable greatness? Well, it's that he raised Christ from the dead, and doing so, he put him at his right hand, far above every power, dominion, authority, ruler, all of it, above every name. Not only in this age right here, but it was in the age 2,000 years ago and the age that is going to come. And because of that, all things are now under his feet, as Paul says in Philippians 2. One day every knee will bow in heaven and under the earth and confess that Jesus is their Lord. And why? It's to make him head of the church. And who is the church? The church is his body. And who is his body? It's the saints. It's us. And why is he doing that? To fill the fullness of him who fills all in all. This is the immeasurable greatness of his power that is working, of his great might. This is the power. This is incredible. This is the power of God that Paul is praying that the readers of this would know more of. So earlier I gave a challenge, right? I gave a challenge that we should make this our prayer for the year of 2018. Every single day praying this. But why? Right? Why should we pray this? Why? It's because we need more Jesus. We don't need less Jesus. We need more of him. And until we have more of him and less of us, we will never see this great power. We'll never know the hope that we are called to. Isn't it crazy that all of the things that Paul was praying for this church, for these Christians that once lived lives of chasing gods and goddesses of Greek and making potions And all of this, he doesn't pray that they wouldn't fall back into their old ways. No, he simply just prays that they would grow in the knowledge of him, that the Father of glory would give them a spirit of wisdom, of revelation and knowledge in him, that the eyes of their hearts would be enlightened to the hope that they are called to the riches of his glorious inheritance, and to the immeasurable greatness of his power. That's why we need to pray this. Have we settled as a church? Have we settled spiritually? You know, one of the most radical transitions for me this year was I was reading this book for my class, and it actually caused some serious concern in my walk. Like I was shaking to the core. I remember sitting down with Robbie and Jane and talking to them about this, because the author of this book raised this question. And it was, have you been living a life of just controlling your behavior? Or have you been living a life pursuing Christ? And that was a radical difference maker for me. Because it is so easy to control my behavior to look like a good person instead of really working out the sin in my life. And I just started thinking, this whole entire time, am I trying to do certain things just to modify my behavior? Or am I just trying to pursue Christ with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength? You know, you can be a Christian and modify your behavior your whole entire life and still go to hell. And I use the term Christian loosely, because at that point, you're not trusting in Jesus. You're not experiencing the fullness of him. You're trusting in what you can do. That's what I was doing. I remember sitting down with Robbie and Jane, just having that conversation, saying, there are certain things that I'm just trying to control instead of just going to Jesus. You guys, it is crazy. It's not that we have loved the Father, but that he loved us. And how much did he love us? By sending his own son? That's crazy. The Father literally loved you that much. And that's what I need to know more of. I don't need to control my behavior. Because the more I know how much God loves me, the more I experience the eyes of my heart being enlightened, the more faith that produces. And the more faith that produces, the more works I want to do, the more obedient to God I want to be. And isn't that the Christian walk? Faith and love. Have we settled? Have we stopped wanting our hearts to be enlightened? So maybe you're in here today and you think, I just wasted my time because I'm not a Christian. And I don't believe any of these things. But I want to tell you, this promise is for you too. This same exact promise that Paul is praying for the church in Ephesus to be revealed to is a promise for you too. And it's a free gift. If it's not by your behavior, then what is it by? It's by faith. And don't wait another second to put your faith in Jesus. Just do it now. There's no perfect prayer. There's no ritualistic type of thing that you have to say. You just put your faith in Him. Don't wait. He is able to save you. Don't try Him out this new year like a new fad. Why? Because you need Jesus. I need Jesus too. We need Jesus. And that's why we need to pray this. So how can we do this? Well, obviously one is praying this. Let's start off by praying this, but don't only pray it. Let's actually do things that are in here too, right? So Paul prays that they would get a spirit of wisdom, grow in your wisdom. And what is wisdom? Wisdom is the fear of the Lord, right? It's obedience and devotion to God. So think of areas in your life that you are lacking in devotion towards God and say, I'm going to grow in those. Grow in revelation. What is revelation? It's studying God's word. Look, I'm sick and tired of hearing people that say, you know what, that really smart things, the theology things, those are for the smart people. Let me tell you something. That is a lie straight from Satan's mouth. God gave you a brain to use. Use it. And I'm saying that knowing full aware that these academic things, this isn't my strong suit, but because I want more revelation of Christ, I pursue it. Memorize the hope. Look for key passages that tell you about God's promises and memorize them. Say them to yourself. This is the hope that I've been called to. And then find a group of people. I just want to tell a little story. So I was meeting up with a guy and going through this book with him, and I told him I just felt so convicted that I needed to evangelize more. I needed to share the gospel with people because I knew that the Spirit would tug on my heart when I would see people and I would just disobey. And I just wouldn't do it because I was scared, I had fear. And so I told this guy who was in our gospel community to keep me accountable. And so every Thursday, he would always ask me, Max, did you share the gospel with somebody this week? And some of the times I just wanted to punch him right in the face because I felt so guilty. But we can't mistake guilt with conviction from the Holy Spirit. We can't do that. That's why we need accountability. We need people to hold us accountable in growing in these things. So church, I plead with you. Would you take along with me and make this your prayer for 2018? That the Father of glory would give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, and that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to the hope that we are called to the glorious inheritance, and to the immeasurable greatness and power that our God has. Would you come along with me? Let's pray. Oh, Father God, Father of glory, would you please give us a spirit of wisdom and of revelation and knowledge in Him, in you, in Jesus? Would you please open the eyes of our hearts to the hope that we are called to. To the immeasurable greatness of your power. To the glorious inheritance that you've given us. God, please reveal these things to us. In your Son Jesus' name I pray, amen.